were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "Whoa, they are filled with new wine." Well, friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pentecost, it was a Jewish tradition, a Jewish festival, a feast of harvest, 50 days beyond Passover. And here, once again, God is taking the Jewish traditions and starting something new. Just as from Passover we come to the crucifixion and resurrection, now at Pentecost, we go from one harvest celebration, the harvest of wheat, to a harvest of new beginnings, a new spirit, the church anew. And of course, at the center of it is this thing called the Holy Spirit. And honestly, if you've grown up in the Presbyterian Church, you maybe have not heard a whole lot about the Spirit. I had a professor in college who would often reflect on the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he would say, you know, the Spirit seems to be sort of the shy member of the Trinity, you know. Doesn't get much press, we don't talk about it much. And that's in part because of our tradition in the Reformed heritage. We're so much more about the cerebral and the academic, the thoughtful. How do we study and learn all of our doctrines and ideas and scriptures? But of course, the Spirit needs to be known and understood. So this morning, I want to unfold a little bit. What is the Holy Spirit about? What does the Holy Spirit do? Some of you maybe have had some experience in the Pentecostal tradition. In the Pentecostal tradition, the Spirit is central. I mean, forefront. It's all about what is the movement of the Spirit doing. And I've had friends who've been a part of the Pentecostal tradition, others who have gone and worshipped at different times. And depending on your experience there, it can be pretty wild. But in the Presbyterian Church, we tend to hide the Spirit, not talk about it much. So I want to explore that a little bit. And first, just to try and begin with the Trinity, we talk as the Trinity is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there's other ways to think about it. One particular chaplain at a university said it this way. He said, think of God the Father as God for us, God the Son as God with us, and God the Spirit as God in us. I want to talk about the God in us, because it seems that is truly what the Spirit does, is it moves in us and through us. And so we might want to learn a little bit about that and understand that. I want to say there are maybe three titles we could give the Holy Spirit today. We're going to talk about the Spirit as counselor, coach, and contributor. And I know contributor is a really awkward sort of phrase for this one. It's really about the gift giver, but I like alliterations. So I had to come up with another C, all right? Contributor was as good as I could get on that one. So counselor, coach, and contributor. Three ways to think about the work of the Holy Spirit. First, this idea of the Spirit as counselor. Jesus, at one point, is speaking to his disciples, and we read this in John. He tells them about what is to come. He says, look, truly I tell you, it is for your good I am going away. And he's giving them some hints, some insight that he's not going to be around forever. He says, and unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And here this word advocate, the Greek word, it doesn't have an exact parallel. It's, well, in the Greek, it's paraclete. And you start to work with language and words and such. It means one who comes alongside. One who is like an ally, a friend, a supporter, a helper, a counselor. You think about, what does a counselor do? Well, there are a lot of different kinds of counselors, of course. If you're struggling in life, trying to understand sort of who you are and put things together, if you will, some of us might go to a counselor, and they'll ask you to talk about what's going on in life, how you're doing, what are the things that you struggle with, and their role as counselor is to hear, to listen, to assess, and then to provide some feedback and to say, well, here's what I hear you saying, and here's what I think is really at the root of that. Sometimes we don't even notice in ourselves what we struggle with. We project and we imagine it's other people's issues and things that are happening to us, but the counselor has to be honest and real and say, this is what's really going on. And here the Holy Spirit is counselor. Well, Jesus says when he comes, he'll prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. The Holy Spirit as counselor comes and says, I need to just get honest with you for a second. There's some junk in your life. And we've been trying to hide it, but here's the reality of what it is. See, because we always want to push the junk aside and say, it's not there. But the Spirit comes as the counselor and says, no, we need to address it. Because you can't get healthy, and you can't live into that abundant life God wants until you recognize it. So the counselor comes alongside and makes it clear. We sometimes think of this as our conscience, right? Those moments when you're sort of faced with a decision, an opportunity, a moment, and you think, well, should I or shouldn't I? And there's something tugging within you saying, no, probably shouldn't. Throw that rock through that neighbor's window. Counselor is trying to make us aware, guide us, and say, this is the way to follow after God, not that way. But like any counselor, the Spirit nudges and is gentle and can only offer what we need to hear, but we have to hear it and to heed it, take that advice. The counselor can suggest and offer, and then we have to respond. The counselor nudges. The question, will we notice? Do we pay attention? I can think so often in my life times when there has been that nudge, that gentle push towards a moment, a decision, a conversation, and I've resisted and said, I'm not comfortable with that, or I don't know, I don't want to. And I know more and more it's the Spirit's the counselor nudging me. Spirit as counselor, coach, contributor. Spirit as coach. Coaches do a lot of things. Coaches try to help train us up, develop and work on the skills we need necessary for whatever sport it is. Coaches come alongside. And some coaches are hard. I had a high school basketball coach I was not very fond of. He was, let's see. If you think about basketball coaches, there's some famous coaches over the years. There's a guy named Bobby Knight. He wore red a lot. University of Indiana coach for many years. Do you remember Bobby Knight as a coach? Yeah, if you followed college basketball at all, even if you didn't, because sometimes he'd get in the news because he'd do really outrageous things, like throw chairs at referees and things like that. He was a bit of a hothead, you might call him. He was the kind of coach who intimidated and cajoled and scared players. That was kind of like my high school coach. And I have to say, I didn't really like it. I didn't enjoy it. I don't think I improved much as a player. We all ran scared all the time. It was kind of the way he coached. That's not the kind of coach the Spirit is. Instead, I think of the coach here, the Holy Spirit, as coach as the kind of coach that understands and sees each one of us and our full potential, and then begins to work little by little at trying to draw out of us our best. It has to be sometimes firm, sometimes gentle, sometimes dangle the carrot out there. I was thinking about this. Sometimes in the journey of Christian faith, moving forward gets hard. It's easier sometimes to just give up and say, I don't want to keep trying to walk this way with you, Jesus. Obedience to you, God, sometimes is just hard. Sometimes it feels like going uphill, like I just want to quit. And it made me think of so many years ago on a backpacking excursion with a bunch of men and boys, some of the sons of fathers going along. We were headed up to a high country lake. That lake, it's beautiful, isn't it? But to get there, of course, took a few thousand feet of elevation climb up over a pass and down into that lake. And along on the trip, there was a young man. We'll just call him Mark for the sake of anonymity. And there were other young men along, but they were with their fathers, and their fathers were acting as the coach, if you will, being dads, helping them make their way up the pass. But this particular young gentleman had come along, and his father couldn't go, and I'd said, you know what, it's okay. Come along. We'll all be dad. That's fine. And it's about an hour into the hike, and he's getting discouraged. Now, he's 15, relatively athletic kid, but hasn't done a lot of backpacking. And there's a difference if you haven't done it much before when you're carrying 40 pounds on your back and going up into thinner and thinner air. It gets challenging sometimes. And I just remember at about an hour in, he had that look of defeat, like, that's it. I'm done. I can't go any further. And we have several hours more to go. And I'm scrambling, thinking, as a coach, as dad, as somebody to come alongside, I need to get him up and over that pass. We're doing this together. How do we do it? And so it took a little nudge, a little push, a little cajoling, step by step, and patience. And we were going to go slower than everyone else, and we did. And every time we took a break as a group hiking, his break was a little longer, and we took a little bit more out of his pack and lightened the load. And we're maybe 1,000 yards away from the summit, getting over that pass. We know it's there, and everybody else is over the top, and we're sitting on a rock, and he is just exhausted, going, I can't do it anymore. And the coach has to come alongside and say, yeah, it's okay, you can. We will. We're going to do it together. And so step by step, little by little, we continued to make it over up to the pass and down. It was a hard climb, and without the coaching alongside, he would have given up. Mark would have said, that's it. I'm just going to pitch my tent here. You guys find me when you come back. Except we weren't going to come back that way. Would have been problematic. We couldn't leave him behind, nor did we want to. And I think of the journey of faith for us so often like that. There's those moments where we just want to give up and say, it's not worth it. I just can't follow after you, Jesus. It costs too much. It's too hard. And the Holy Spirit as coach comes in and whispers and says, no, don't give up. You can do it. It is worth it. And when we got to that pass and he looked at that lake down below, a vision like that, he said, oh, whew, I'm so glad I made it. It was felt so rewarding to get over the pass and to be able to camp the next day and to celebrate at that lake. The Holy Spirit comes as counselor and coach and as contributor. We see it here in the Pentecost moments where language is doled out, but of course, Paul writes in many places about the work of the Spirit as contributor, gift giver, sharing in so many different ways, gifts of the Spirit, gifts that we don't have naturally, but that are given to us for the use and the sake of building up the church. And Paul has lots of lists about all this. Spirit gifts like preaching and teaching, like hospitality, administration, generosity, speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues, and so many others. And again, in the Reformed tradition, we don't talk a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, but you have them. We have been given them. They've been used here for the last 60 plus years. Earlier this week, I was in the library looking through some of our historical documents and just imagining and thinking back as we celebrate 10 years in this building, but of course, the beginnings of this church began in 1954, a little further back. And it was the Spirit moving and nudging people to say, there's this growing community here up on the north side. There should be a church there. God should be preached and worshiped there. And so people began to show up. And through their different gifts and abilities and the Spirit's nudging, Wildwood began. And then 10 years ago, with other gifts and abilities and nudgings, Wildwood continued and expanded here. How many of you were a part of that shift, that change from the first to the second? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, for using your gifts, because if you hadn't, I don't think you would have made it here. But here we are. And of course, the gift is given, and the question always comes, will we use our gifts? The coach can only encourage us so long. The counselor can only nudge us so far, but at some point we have to recognize, what are my gifts and how can I use them? I'm always amazed when people really step into their gifts, in the kind of the sweet spot of the Spirit, if you will. I know a man who has many different gifts, but the one in particular that kind of rises to the top as I think of him is he's a gift of encouragement. And maybe you've never thought of that as a spiritual gift, but I absolutely believe it. We can encourage people in lots of ways, but this particular gentleman, he just has a way of knowing what you need to hear when you need to hear it. And particularly, he would do it with cards. You would find a card in the mail out of the blue, and he'd have a little note in there. And after you read it, you would just feel lighter, more buoyant, and capable. And it was so wonderful. And he used it time and time and time again for all the people he was in contact with to build them up and to encourage them. That's what the gifts of the Spirit do. This morning, I wonder if you've considered and thought through, what are my gifts? What has the Spirit given me? For some of you in the choir here, you've been given a gift of music. Now, some of you may have trained long and hard in that. Others, it may have just kind of happened over time. Oh, I love to sing, and here we go. Thank you. It's an amazing gift that helps build up every one of us as we gather in worship, and it's powerful. VBS starts in a week. VBS, to me, is one of the quintessential moments of the demonstration of the gifts. Because you can't have a great VBS if everybody who's involved in it is a teacher. Now, we need teachers. We need people with a gift of teaching. Absolutely. But if that's the only gift being demonstrated, then boy, are the snacks scary. Woo! Maybe you've been to a VBS like that in the past. I don't know. Or the music elements, or the games, or just the organization, administration of signing up, and the forms, knowing who's got what allergies, and who can eat what and can't, and who, I mean, all that. It takes all these different gifts coming together for this VBS to happen and to be powerful as God desires it to be. And that happens because you share your gifts, because you use them and you say, yes, here I go. There are probably a lot of other ways we could think about the Holy Spirit, but this morning I want to lift up those three titles for the Spirit. What are they? Counselor, coach, contributor. I want you to remember that. As you go into this week, into this summer, and you look ahead to consider, to pay attention. Seniors, graduates, for you particularly, think of the Spirit moving with you into whatever, in that next season of life, as the counselor going alongside and saying, okay, you've got a lot of new choices to make. It's one of the great gifts of this next season of life for you. It's also a little scary, too. You're like, well, mom and dad have kind of been around. They've helped make some of these choices. They've helped influence. They've been the counselors. But now, all of a sudden, you're going to be faced with lots of moments and decisions. You don't have to share them with mom or dad. I hope you will, okay? I hope you will. I'm not advising against that. But to know in the midst of all those choices, the Holy Spirit is there as the counselor saying, here's the way of God. I hope you'll listen. I hope you'll pay attention. The Holy Spirit will be there as the coach guiding you when it feels like you just, you know, after the third major, that's it. I want to give up. Say, no, you can do it. Or when you're in the midst of basic training and no more push-ups seem possible, coach will be there saying, you can do it. And you've each been given gifts. And as you study and you train and you learn, those unfold and you get to wrestle with, what does that mean? Who is God calling me to become? For graduates especially, I hope you hear today, the Spirit is with us as counselor and coach and contributor. The Spirit is with you as you go. Because remember when we began, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God in us. So you don't go alone. God goes with you wherever you go. It's true for each one of us, friends. We go out these doors, God always goes with us and is in us. The question is, will we notice? Will we pay attention to the counselor, the coach, the contributor? Gracious God, thank you. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit, that first Pentecost day when the tongues of fire appeared. Thank you, O Lord, for every movement of your Spirit since. Thank you for the ways in which the Spirit has moved here in Wildwood Presbyterian Church, in its beginnings, in its birth in the 1950s, and its growth throughout the decades and movement to this place and moment. And Lord, we can only imagine what you call us to in the next 10 years, in the next 50 years. But we want to pay attention and listen well to your guiding. And so, Holy Spirit, speak loudly to us as we look to the future and who you call us to become as individuals and as a community of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.